Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Reassurance is knowing our pensions will be supporting you in the years ahead. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension today.
Drive Time with Katie Hannan and Cullum O'Mungoyne on RTE Radio 1.
Now, sticking to your New Year's resolutions takes a good bit of willpower along with establishing some potentially new good habits. But just how long does it take for something to become habitual? And can we ever completely rid ourselves of the bad habits? I'm joined now by Dr. Philippa Lally, Senior Lecturer of Psychology at the University of Surrey. You're very welcome, Dr. Lally.
Hi.
Philippa, this is obviously the peak time of the year for everyone's self-improvement projects.
Yeah.
But a lot of us just sort of jump into it with, I just want to be healthier, I just want to be better, I just want to take in more exercise. Is that enough of a starting point?
Well, it's a good starting point to want to make changes, but on its own, it's not usually going to get anywhere, because we say these things and then we move on with our normal lives and everything else gets in the way. So to actually translate those good intentions into actions, you need to think through how and when and what and make some concrete plans.
So you actually have to kind of buy equipment, buy the gear, don't just wake up in the morning and expect...
I mean, you might not need to buy anything. You might already have it, or your plan might be something that you can do without any equipment. But you need to think about whether you have the resources around you to do whatever it is that you want to do. Because if you don't, then you're never going to be able to do it. I can't suddenly start eating lots of fruit if there is no fruit anywhere near me.
Should you be sort of keep the ambition as low as possible first time around and maybe ramp it up gradually rather than going, I'm going to revolutionise my life in January?
It's a tricky one, because some people have the type of personality where they find it easier to kind of make a big change. But in general, yes, I think ramping things up is a good idea. And definitely with something like physical activity. If you haven't done any exercise in ages, don't start running 10Ks every day. It's probably not going to have a very good outcome.
Right.
When we talk about forming habits, for exercise particularly, we talk about forming the instigation habit, which is just the starting. So if you want to start going out and doing some exercise, try and form a habit for the getting out the door part. What you actually do when you get out the door can slowly increase over time. So if on the first day it's a 10-minute walk, or for the first week it's always a 10-minute walk, and then slowly you get faster, you can start adding in a little bit of running. But you're still forming a habit for getting out the door and doing some exercise, but you can build up over time as you get stronger and fitter.
I'm completely fascinated by the whole process of habit forming. Because obviously some people have, you are your habits. You are the physical manifestation of the kind of habits you have managed to form. And there is this idea that I think a lot of people have heard and seen that it takes 21 days. You have to do something consistently for 3 weeks and then the habit gets imprinted on you and you're grand. Is that the case?
No, it's not. I'm sorry. So, and lots of marketing companies like to say, I feel like I'm being bombarded at the moment with adverts telling me, just do it, just start this new habit. The 21-day thing is a myth. As far as we know, it comes from some research from a plastic surgeon who said that's how long it took his patients to get used to not having a limb or having a limb or whatever else they had or didn't have, which is obviously very different than forming a habit. I did some research on how long it takes to form a habit, and the answer basically was that it's really, really variable. And the range in my study was 18 to 254 days, which was a statistically modelled thing. So, but basically, it's very variable. And having the 21-day myth is unhelpful, because then when you get to 3 weeks and it hasn't become easier, people then feel disheartened and they give up.
All right. So is 254 days a better target? And if you find it's habit forming short of that, then you can pat yourself on the back and go, well
done,
me.
Yeah, then that's a win.
Yeah.
I think that the point is it's just variable. But you yourself know whether you're making progress. You know whether it's starting to get easier to do that thing each time. So you can see that progress, even if it's still a little bit of an effort each time, you can see how it slowly becomes less effort each time and gets easier and easier.
Is it that point you pass where when you haven't done the thing that you've now, you know, been forcing yourself to do for a long time, when that feels wrong, that's the habit. Is that the point at which, okay, this is officially a habit?
Yeah, well, that's definitely one kind of symptom of habit, is that it feels weird when you don't do it. I mean, another is that for habits that happen very quickly, a symptom is sometimes that you don't even know whether you've done it. So sometimes I get to the end of the road and then I go, oh, did I lock the door? Because I did it automatically. But that obviously doesn't happen for things like going for a run. We don't often get back from a run having forgotten that we did it.
So what's the difference between a habit and an addiction? Or is there any difference? Is it just labelling?
I think the way I often think about it is that addictions often involve a lot of habits within them, but all habits aren't addictions. So habits are where we have a mental association. We've formed a memory between a situation and an action. And because we've done it so many times, just going into that situation leads to us usually doing the action again. Whereas addiction is something where there's usually some sort of physiological drive for that substance or whatever it might be, which is beyond just that memory association between the situation and the action.
And we're talking about forming habits a lot here now, but a lot of us will be trying to drop habits and kill
or
off
get other people to drop habits.
Get other people. But is that easier, or and how do you go about that?
I think it's harder to break a habit than to make a habit, because once you've got that association in your brain, it's hard to get rid of it, whereas making a new one is easier. There are different ways. So because we don't know how to get into people's brains and take out an association, we talk about how we stop the habitual behaviour from happening. And there are different ways that you can do that. The easiest way is if you can work out what your cue is and you can avoid it, then that's brilliant. So if I always walk a certain route to work and pass a bakery and buy something delicious but very unhealthy, if I can walk a different route, I'm not going to pass the bakery. So that's the easiest. But a lot of our cues are things that happen all the time that are so in our lives that we can't avoid them.
Is it any easier with children, because, you know, their brains are still plastic and forming, that it's easier to get them to break habits more quickly, or is that not the case?
I don't think we really know. The only benefit with our children is that we sometimes have more control over their environments. So we can sometimes remove the cues for them, or we can remove the opportunity to do the behaviour. So if we want to change their diet, if we remove certain foods from our house, then they have less opportunity to eat those foods. So we can create environments for them that sometimes we can't do for adults, which can be helpful. But I don't think we have any evidence that it's easier or harder for children to form habits than adults.
Okie doke. Okay, really interesting. Dr. Philippa Lally, many thanks for that.